Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You who are loved by God and called to be his saints, grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the first thing we notice that in this verse from our Old Testament reading today is the remarkable paradox of our humanity. We are created both dust and breath. The Lord God first forms Adam out of the dust of the ground, a material that is lifeless and inert. We are reminded here of our human origin, our dependence upon God's creation, and how apart from Him, we are nothing. The dust signifies our frailty, our mortality, and our humble position in the grand scope of God's creation. It calls to mind the words of the 103rd Psalm, which reads, "For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." But then with a touch of divine artistry and grace, God breathes breath into the man. And at that moment, the man becomes a living soul. And the breath of God is not just hot air, it's a life-giving spirit. The same spirit that one day would renew and recreate all people in Christ Jesus. And the breath of life in this verse today is more than just biological life. It is the very soul, the very essence, the animating force that sustains and gives meaning to our human existence. As Job proclaims, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." In our world of scientific discovery and technological advancement, it is easy to forget the fundamental truth that our lives, in their very basic and most important sense, come from God, ultimately. The breath in our lungs that we breathe is simply a gift. Every moment of life is an extension of God's mercy. Without His breath, we would simply be dust. Dirt of the earth, lifeless, inert, incapable of knowing God. In Genesis chapter 2, God creates man in his image. And while the focus here is on the physical formation of man, we must not forget that this act is a part of the larger picture of God's image. As Lutherans, we hold that humanity was created in perfect communion with God, reflecting God's holiness, His righteousness, His wisdom. The breath of life not only signifies biological life, but spiritual life with God as well. Life that is meant to be in a relationship with God, living in harmony with Him and His will. Our purpose then is not to just live for ourselves in this world, but to live for God. This is the calling of every human being. Every created person. It is the calling of Adam in the garden. It is the calling of you and me as baptized children of God. As our small catechism teaches us, God has created me and all that exists. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, and all my senses. We were created by God to live for Him. And to reflect God's glory in this created world. Yet in our sin, we're often drawn to forget that purpose for which God has created us. We become consumed by our own desires, seeking our own meaning and purpose in fleeting things and even in ourselves. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, restores us back to the original purpose for God's creation. Through Jesus, the breath of life is renewed back within us. In Christ, we are restored to our true humanity, our true creation as living children of God. In our Old Testament reading, we see God placing the man in the Garden of Eden, a paradise where life is abundant and perfectly good. Yet within the garden, God also sets a boundary for the man. He says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Here God provides both the opportunity for life and the command for obedience. The command not to eat from the tree is not arbitrary, but a reminder that the breath of life we have is not ours to command, nor is it ours to control. We are but mere creatures, not the Creator. The command that God gives to the man in the garden is given for our good, for it is through obedience to God's word that life flourishes and blossoms. This is a critical point in our own lives here today. The breath of life is not just about existence, it is about living according to God's holy and perfect will. Just as Adam was called to live in obedience to God and his word in the garden, so we too are called to live according to God's word here in our lives today. We're not called to define life on our own terms, but to receive it as a bountiful gift, living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In the life of the church, this means that we live our lives that are shaped and formed solely by God's holy word. It is in this word, especially in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we find true life. The Apostle John, in his gospel narrative, says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus Christ, you see, is the fulfillment of that promise given in Genesis chapter 2. He, Christ, is the one who by his death and resurrection has breathed new life into the world and into his sacred church. The breath of life has also profound implications for us here now today as the living church. For you see, just as God breathed life into Adam, he breathes life into you, his people. He breathes this breath of life into you through Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. For on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured forth out onto the apostles and the disciples of Christ's church. And through that outpouring, the church here on earth was born into existence. The breath of God is now given to the church through the preaching of Christ's gospel, the administration of his sacred sacraments, and as well as in and through you, the community of believers. In our lives as individuals and as the church, we are constantly being reminded of our need for the breath of life. Every Sunday and every Lord's Day that we gather to receive and to hear God's word, to be nourished by his Holy Spirit, and to be strengthened in our faith. In these very things we pray, confess, and receive Christ's body and blood in the sacrament. In these things you and I are renewed with the very breath of life that strengthens and nourishes us to life everlasting. We are reminded that in these things, apart from God, we have nothing and we are nothing. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That same breath, that sacred breath of God, is in each and every one of you. This is not a breath that is reserved for the elite, the powerful, the righteous, or the well put together in society or in the church. It is the breath that animates every one of us. Every single one of us. It's the divine spark given to every soul. From the soil of the earth and the breath of heaven, we each were made, crafted with intention and filled with worth given to us from God. This is the foundation of our human dignity. Not in what we produce or how we conform, but in simply being bearers of God's breath, participants in God's creation. And so with this reality, with this lifeblood flowing through us, the breath of God filling our nostrils and filling the entire essence of our beings, the church cannot remain silent with this. We're called not only to recognize the dignity of every person, but to advocate for it in every single person. To lift our voices when those in our community are threatened. To stand with those whose breath is stifled by oppression, by poverty, by homelessness, by racism, by systems that treat people as disposable. The church, you and I, must be a sanctuary of worth and human dignity, where every person, regardless of background, status, identity, or circumstance, every single person is seen as a beloved and essential part of God's creation. A part of God's creation in which he has breathed the breath of life into them. You and I cannot claim to follow Christ, to claim that we are people of God's living breath, while we ignore the sacred breath of God in our neighbor and the strangers around us. For you and I to be the church is to speak up, to go out into our streets and communities and to speak up on behalf of the worth and value of all people, to protect their dignity, to speak up for each person as one who was formed from the same dust of the earth from the Creator and breathed the breath of life into them, just as you and me. Dear friends, we are reminded of our creation today, our dependence upon God, and our purpose to live as the church in relationship with our God. It is a call to remember the breath of life, both the physical breath that sustains us bodily, as well as the spiritual life that sustains and renews us in Christ Jesus. In a world that often forgets the source of that life, we are called to live by God's word, to receive his breath, and to live in the fullness of life that he gives to each and every one of us through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you go about your daily life this week, remember that you are not just dust. Remember that your neighbor and those around you are not just dust as well. But each and every single one of us are dust created by a loving God who breathes his living breath of life into your soul. Live in that breath. Breathe deeply of his word. And live as his children in the world. In doing so, you reflect the glory of your Creator and the redemption of Jesus Christ, who has breathed new life into us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and lives in and through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.